Good morning. My name is Gauri Bhattacharya, and this is the topic of my presentation. Now, type 2 diabetes is a national epidemic and is a critical public health concern in the U.S. as well as the world. So my topic focuses on type 2 diabetes self-management. Before I get further discussion, that I have no relationship to disclose. If we look at this map, we can see that diabetes, type 2 diabetes, diagnosed. We need to focus on this word diagnosed because there could be more not knowing. And this is the state of Arkansas. And there it is around 10.5, 8.9 to 10.5, and more than 10.6. So all over except these couple of states, it is type 2 diabetes is an epidemic. Before I look into the Arkansas, you know, for type 2 diabetes is a manageable chronic disease. What does that mean? It means that type 2 diabetes can be controlled to some extent by all of us know that here, healthy diet, physical activities, and in some cases, if it needed, then medicine. But at the same time, we also know that consequences of long-time type 2 diabetes without management can lead to cardiovascular diseases, renal failure, blindness, amputation, particularly lower limb, and amputation-related mortalities. So lifestyle changes for type 2 diabetes self-management is challenging. It is not easy. But at the same time, studies show that in the short term, it is often less challenging to continue, but it is difficult to sustain the healthy lifestyle behavioral changes. If we look at Arkansas, still going up, incidence rates, 1996 to 2009. So it is an important issue, critical issue, like any other state, but more so in Arkansas. Another question is that we discussed about that type 2 diabetes related health behavioral changes are challenging for all Americans, but more so for African Americans. So our research question was that what factors and conditions can enhance sustainability of healthy lifestyle changes among those diagnosed with type 2 diabetes? Because we realized that even before we go to the community to develop evidence-based strategies, we have to learn from the community what are the factors they think, not what we think. As practitioners at interventionists, what was for them. We have to learn through the African-American community living in Mississippi Delta. So these were the specific aims, factors, conditions for healthy lifestyle changes among African-Americans in Arkansas Delta, participants' perception of strengths and challenges, and then develop potential strategies to enhance sustainability of lifestyle changes in Arkansas rural context. We followed a simple model. We know that it is a multi-level factors. So that is just as a guide. Methodology, it was a qualitative study, ecological framework, lifespan approach. That was critical for us. Then focus on community resilience, purposive sampling, narrative approach, because we wanted to learn from communities' narratives, their life stories, their experiences, and grounded theory. 45 years and older, African Americans, males and females, diagnosed with type 2 diabetes for minimum 1 year, resided in Craighead County, Arkansas Delta. These are the breakup, 31, 15 males, 16 females, 70% 45, 64 years, 65 years older, educated, treatment. All were prescribed type 2 diabetes management. Now, because of time limitations, I am not going into details of the methodology, but I have published 3 papers, and I will put those in. I have already put it on my reference list. So what were our outcome indicators? We are talking about lifestyle challenges. What are those? Dietary pattern, physical activities, and we have found all participants were on prescribed medication. So adherence to medication regimen, that was another one outcome, and visiting medical doctor, assigned medical person for regular checkup. These were the outcome indicators. I will focus more on the findings, what we have found, and what we have done to develop strategies. First, psychosocial issues. Trust of the medical system and the medical doctor. One, they said, oh, doctors always say that. They say take medicines. But if I'm feeling well, why should I take medicine? And we can see that these are linked. I'll come to that. Feelings of discrimination in quality healthcare. Yes, I go to the doctor, but you know, they're so busy. They don't have much time for us. Health and illness related beliefs. One point is that type 2 diabetes doesn't have any symptoms, visible ones. So if I'm well, why should I take medicine? If I have pain, I will take medicine. When I don't feel good, I take medicine. And then alternative and complementary medicine. Very strong in the African American community in Mississippi Delta. Now, from where these beliefs are coming? Because that was our intention to find out. Historical experiences, very strong, still, word by mouth, that story, oral histories, historical experiences, and the strength, how the population survived in those years. So if we have survived so long, why you are coming and telling me to change my diet? So many times I heard about soul food. What's wrong with my soul food? True. That's the question one can ask, definitely. So how we address those issues? Now, again, from the very beginning, they heard from the doctors that you follow these changes. You must follow lifestyle changes. Otherwise, these will be the consequences. What are the consequences? Amputations, renal failure. So right, follow this, otherwise this. 2 things. We heard a lot from them about spirituality and relationship with God. God as my healer. He saved me all the time. When it will be my time to go, I will go. some of them also mention that my body is a temple. So I have to take care of my body. And that includes staying healthy. Now, we wanted to look into these narratives from a different perspective. We wanted to be in tune with what we are hearing, what we are listening. That was the whole purpose. Now, these health and illness beliefs and chronic illness, there is a big disconnection. Chronic illness like type 2 diabetes doesn't have any visible symptoms. So health and illness is there must be a symptom. So regular medication, no. When I feel pain medication I heard a lot. I take pain medication. So how we can connect these chronic illness beliefs with health and illness beliefs? And from the very beginning, in church is very central part in all Southerners' life, including African Americans. So how we can connect spirituality, health illness beliefs, and chronic illness beliefs? And as you all know, about African Americans, like many other communities and groups, health and spirituality is one common bonding that links with God, universe, ancestors. So it is nested in all that, in that way. So it is not to find out these, to understand the narratives, we have to look into from the childhood stages how these beliefs developed. Again, I have already mentioned that situating medication adherence, it is from social historical context, that we have survived. We have the strength. So we need to build on those resilience parts. So what was our approach? What we did learning from this? We realized that we have to have a broad perspective. It is not just changing the lifestyle. Diet, exercise, we say physical activities, or medication. How? So this is a wellness approach. We have to make aware, instead of just giving these directives, that this is the way to go, otherwise this will be the consequences. So how we can communicate? And it is not only just diabetes self-management. Other policies, you know, there is a common theme, what we all presenters mentioned, that it is not one level, one aspect, one dimensional one. For that, it is rural area where one will go to do physical exercises. I have been told that, you know, Dr. Ghori, it is in rural area nobody walks. You will fall. And then hip surgery. And most of them were on Medicare. Who will take care of us? So we are asking them for physical activities, what type? Where to? That came up in our previous presentation. When we are giving instructions, we have to mention that how we can implement it in that situation, in that context. Of course, health equity, it is severe. Type 2 diabetes related health disparity is significant over there. But at the same time, we know type 2 diabetes is a chronic manageable disease. Mechanism that we have mentioned, and you all know that we have to have an interdisciplinary team, but it is not just having interdisciplinary people. Each discipline should have an understanding that we need to work together, and that working together will lead to synergistic interaction. Health for all and self-management is not just by self one. It is a family-oriented disease. I have been told, how can I, a woman saying, cook for myself? I cook for the whole family. I cook for my church community. So just single out one and say it is not possible. Lifestyle choice. Thank you. So what do we teach? The whole purpose was for us to learn from the community, cultural, and how to communicate with them linguistically. It is not just health literacy. It is cultural and linguistic competence. And we wanted to focus on how we can approach, how we can reach. It is not why they are not sustaining lifestyle changes. Then I mentioned about synergistic learning. We involved church as partner and beneficiary, particularly some dinner there, Sunday dinner and all. So now we have started cooking, and I'm originally from India. Then how to mix in some herbs, taste good and all, to make it in this way so that all we can have dinner together in different ways so that it tastes good and it also accepted. And to make it a point, it is not for only who have been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. It is healthy diet. That it is healthy for all, for any group. Family, hands-on experience, and it needs to be small steps, encouraging one. It is a whole lifestyle changes. Think about us. How much it takes to maintain, you know, healthy diet, exercise, physical activities, medication. And medication, body system. We included children also. Asking, have you taken medicines today? I say, yes, yes. But children, they can be also, including body peers, but children can be also included. Limitation, we wanted to learn it so that we can start our intervention in a small way before it's going to the large scale. Of course, it was done in Mississippi Delta. His social, historical context is a big part of life. Is it everywhere? I'm not sure. Oral history is very strong in Mississippi Delta. Rural area, yes, it's not urban. So we are also taking small steps. We, in that community, we have started small intervention going through the church community, working with them. But I acknowledge that this was a grant given to me from National Historically Black College and University Health Disparity Program. And I am grateful to the study participants for offering their experiences. It is not easy to talk about past history, survival. And how can one trust when I'm going from Arkansas State University? Asking those questions, so there comes that what the purpose of us. It is not as a researcher. I went there to listen from them. And I'm so grateful they opened up. And these are the three articles that I have published. And so I have accepted different parts, focused on psychosocial. Second one is spirituality. and third one is self-management. And this part I truly want to highlight. It is the strength perspective. It is not how we can approach it, not just why one is not fortunate. So I will stop here. Thank you very much.